In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, August 16th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Fox News is reminding liberal commentator Chris Matthews that he had attributed the creation of ISIS to Dick Cheney 2 years ago, while CNN is up in arms against Donald Trump for attributing the creation of ISIS to President Obama. What CNN and Fox News both forget is that it was God who raised up these enemies, as he raised up Assyria against Israel so many years ago. Isaiah 10 says, "Woe to Assyria! The rod of my anger and the staff in whose hand is my indignation, I will send him against an ungodly nation, to seize the spoil, to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets." The Lord God is also sovereign over the floods and the storms. Flooding in Louisiana has resulted in at least 2 deaths. More than 20,000 people have been rescued from flooded districts in the southern part of the state. President Obama declared a state of federal emergency in the affected parishes and said his, quote, "thoughts and prayers," unquote, are with the people of Louisiana. In one dramatic rescue, 2 men pulled a woman and her dog from a car caught in the floodwaters. The entire rescue was captured on YouTube, and it's worth the watch. Conservative talk show host Glenn Beck announced that he could not support Donald Trump for president, and he is now sympathetic with the Black Lives Matter group. Beck admitted that the leaders of the group were communist and anti-capitalist, but argued that the rank and filed are disenfranchised and need to be heard.
The people who are marching, not the people who are running it, they are communists. But many of the people who are marching, that are not burning things down, they just want to be heard.
Job 12, 24-25 says, "He takes away the understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth and makes them wander in a pathless wilderness. They grope in the dark without light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man." The BBC reports an increase in sexual dysfunction among young men, and it's attributed to pornography habits. A BBC-produced documentary called Brought Up on Porn speaks of this new problem introduced by the widespread accessibility to pornography by iPhones and other personal electronic devices. Also, a recent study published in the Behavioral Sciences Journal reports that online pornography habits compare directly to drug-like addictions and lower sexual libido. Here's a good screensaver for men who go online. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap." Galatians 6:7. Last week, Donald Trump promised evangelicals more power and higher church attendance if he's elected. A pastor from communist China told the Generations program their church had been raided at least 6 times over the last several years. However, he said each time the church grew as a result, from 15 attendees in 2006 to over 700 faithful adherents today. Persecution has had a huge influence on church attendance in China.
We have seen the work of God in our lives. In fact, when the persecution gets more intense, it's easier for us to get on guard. And when the persecution relaxes, in fact, we see the faith in the church members relax as well.
British actor Hugh Grant publicly announced that he is principally opposed to monogamous faithful marriage. He told radio host Howard Stern, quote, "human beings are not meant for this," unquote, and he called marriage unromantic. Grant is the father of 4 illegitimate children, and he's never been married. Grant has set the tone for romantic movies over the last 20 years, starring in blockbusters like Notting Hill, Love Actually, and Bridget Jones' Diary. Former presidential candidate Marco Rubio told a group of Christian pastors to stop making judgments about sins like homosexuality. Senator Rubio said he does not want Christian leaders to warn of God's condemnation of America because of sins like homosexuality, adultery, greed, and pride. Acts 17 says, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained." The new remake of the film Ben-Hur will hit the theaters this week, and Christian audiences are waiting with bated breath. This time, audiences will see the face of Jesus featured prominently, and the director says the film focuses more on forgiveness than revenge. Check out the trailer and find a theater near you at the website benhurmovie.com. And that's The Worldview on this Tuesday, August 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. Friends, Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy is also in studio with me today. As we come back to the issue of religious freedoms, or Christian freedoms in this country, soon to be gone. Friends, here is the title of an article from WorldNet Daily concerning what's happening in Iowa. I hope you are up to speed on this. Governments in Iowa trying to control church sermons. Wake up, my friends. It's time to understand the times. It's time to wake up and realize what is happening with the full-orbed attack on the Christian church and upon Christianity on the part of the homosexual Borg. This is the homosexual Trojan horse in which religious freedoms, Christian freedoms, will be completely undermined if they get their agenda. Remember, Obergefell was the key decision that came down about a year ago in which the dissenting judges said that there would be no comfort for Christians and this decision would be used to wipe out all dissent. Their words, not mine. So keep that in mind, my friends. These are the dissenting judges at the Supreme Court of the United States giving you the signal that this is the direction the nation is heading because of homosexuality and the neuronic agenda that is coming hard and fast, friends. You know, Nero was the Caesar that started the persecution against Christians during the Roman days. And he did so because he was, first and foremost, interested in homosexual marriage and the debauchery involved with that. He was the namesake for homosexual marriage, attempted to conduct a couple of homosexual marriages for himself. And then he proceeded to persecute Christians. And then he proceeded to attempt to burn down Rome. So these are the three elements of a neuronic agenda. First, to destroy the empire. Secondly, to destroy Christians. And thirdly, to introduce homosexual marriage, which has happened in most of the Western nations. But do recall that one of the reasons for the neuronic agenda is to go after Christians and to institute the persecution of Christians, which is precisely what is happening in the state of Iowa, again, under the ruse of the public accommodation laws. First of all, the strategy is to undermine the right to private property, incorporate fascism or Nazism, where governments control all public accommodations, where governments make the decisions for private companies. And once private companies and private enterprises under the complete control of the government by way of the public accommodation laws, then churches will find themselves under the public accommodation laws and illegalized. Welcome to the USSA. This is the ruse by which the tremendous persecutions are slowly but surely descending upon this nation. Okay, so just briefly from the WorldNet Daily article, Bill Jack in studio with me. I'd like your comment on this as well, Bill, before we take the break. An Iowa church just wants to be free to preach the gospel, but the state's so-called non-discrimination requirements could block the house of worship from doing just that. Lawyers for the church, I believe the ADF, Organization Alliance Defense Fund, is taking on this case. They are asking a federal court to prevent Iowa from censoring what the religious group can say about homosexuality, same-sex marriage, transgenderism, other related topics. The case erupted when the state's Civil Rights Commission first claimed the authority to control the content of sermons and then to define what's religious. At issue is the state's non-discrimination requirements that specify any public accommodation can be ordered not to say anything that might make a homosexual or transgender feel unwelcome, such as even reading from the Bible, condemnation of such behavior. And of course, SB 200 in the state of Colorado brought the very same law to this state. Anybody that's involved in public accommodation that says anything that might be perceived as unwelcome to homosexuals up for a year in prison in the state of Colorado, apparently also in Iowa. And as can be expected, they're not just applying this to flower shops anymore. They're not just applying this to hotels or to rentals. It's now being applied to the house of worship and to the church. Too bad the church didn't take up some responsibility and encourage their folks to the principles of God's word during the November elections. Too bad the church has been asleep for the last 60 years, 80 years, 100 years, and allowing the persecution to descend upon this country.
You know, we have become just another special interest group. I said this earlier, and that is we want our own liberties. Just don't come to our church door. Don't just leave us alone. We don't care what you do to photographers or florists or bakers.
Yeah.
Just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Just carve out an exemption for us. And I said 2 years ago when this happened with Jack Phillips and with a photographer in New Mexico and with a florist in Washington State, when they came after them, I said, they're not going to stop there. They're going to come knocking on the church door and demand that the church not only participate but celebrate homosexual marriage. And that's exactly what's happening. And Alliance Defending Freedom has decided that this is where they're going to draw the line in the sand, and they're taking this to the courts. I don't know that they're going to win this one, however.
Bill, the state of Iowa claims churches are a public accommodation, at least at some points. And they say the public worship service is a public accommodation. The public restrooms are a public accommodation. So therefore, these churches ought to open the bathrooms to transgenders and to homosexuals, and the church sermons should not bring anything that might be perceived as unwelcome to homosexuals,
right,
or transgenders. And what our point is simply this, that the church has a responsibility to call sinners to repentance. That's why Jesus came. He said he didn't come to call the righteous. He didn't come to call the self-justifying Supreme Court justices of the United States of America that have self-justified every single sin, every single abomination that is known to man, at least in this country. But he didn't come to call them. He came to call sinners to repentance. Jesus came to call homosexuals, fornicators, liars, each and every one of us, to repentance, at least those who are willing to acknowledge our sin. And that is the responsibility of the church. We call sinners to repentance, and we provide them the mercy of God. When they fall on their faces and they cry out for mercy as the publican did, God have mercy on me, a sinner, they go home justified. They go home forgiven. Repentance sinners receive the forgiveness of God. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to continue to preach that message whether or not we wind up in jail in the state of Colorado or in the state of Iowa. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast.
Time is limited, especially for fathers who are juggling work, leading their families, and keeping up with the busyness of life. But we know that time with Dad, especially for boys, is essential to raising the leaders we need for the future. Finding it tough to spend quality time with your son? Come to the Father-Son Retreat this September 1st through the 4th and experience the luxury of 4 days of quality time. It's just you, your son, and other dads and boys at one of America's most beautiful and exciting mountain lodges for a weekend retreat near Winter Park, Colorado. With solid teaching, manly fellowship, mountain activities, and plenty of time to talk and just be together. Each year, the lives of boys and their dads are forever changed by the impact of the relationships and truth from the Father-Son Retreat. Will you make it a part of your discipleship this year? Register now at www.coloradofathersun.com.
Back on the Generations broadcast, Kevin Swanson here with you. Amazing things happening, my friends. We are watching, slowly but surely, the disintegration of faith, family, and freedom in this country, and chronicling the demise of Western civilization on this radio program. Bill, it's unbelievable. It just feels like the USSA. It feels like the Gulag Archipelago. This is the Star Chamber. This is the Civil Rights Commission of the state of Iowa saying, we're coming into your church. We're shutting you down, baby. It's unbelievable. It's out of control. I didn't imagine that happening that quickly. I thought it was going to happen by the year 2030, but the year 2016, it doesn't make sense to me.
You know, and churches have been living in fear for a number of years because of the 1954 Johnson Amendment, which said you may lose your tax exemption if you speak on these issues. And we've been living in fear. I was raised in the land of the free, not the land of the fearful. And we need to return to freedom. We need to return to getting louder as Christians. And the louder we get, the more persecution you can receive. But you will stem the tide. You can stem the tide of tyranny by getting louder. And that's what Christians need to do.
And
the pulpit, in the pew, in the public marketplace of ideas, we need to get louder.
And be sure that we teach principle and vote principle. The Eighth Commandment, of course, is the key commandment. With all of these public accommodation laws, friends, the Eighth Commandment's the key. A man who owns the capital has the right to do with the capital what he wants. That's basic to the Eighth Commandment. Otherwise, it's fascist governments that are stealing the man's capital and then forcing him to do with his capital what he doesn't want to do with it. Friends, that's fascism, and we've been doing it in this country since the 1960s, and it's time for Christian churches to preach against this kind of thing. If they would preach the Eighth Commandment and throw in the Seventh, the Sixth, and the Fifth, if they would preach these commandments, apply it to the civil magistrate, we'd be way ahead of the curve. But sadly, it's the churches themselves that have brought this persecution down upon the church because they abandoned principle, they abandoned the law of God and wouldn't apply it to the civil magistrate 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. All right, let's move on to the next story. This is interesting. It shows where the nations are headed. This story from Italy, where there's a rising population of Muslims in Italy, by the way. They're joining the homosexual agenda and demanding polygamy there. And let me read from this story briefly. Responding to a new law allowing same-sex couples to enter civil unions, Hamza Picardo argued that if gay relationships, which Muslims disagree with, are a civil right, then Italians must accept polygamy as a civil right as well. The founder of the Union of Islamic Communities and Organizations in Italy took to Facebook to claim polygamy as a civil right and that Italy would benefit from the large number of Muslim births it would promote. And so there it is. You think Italy might benefit from the Muslim births that would come about by polygamy? Well, Italy has the lowest birth rate, just above Portugal, just slightly above Portugal, indicating that the Roman Catholic Church hasn't made much of an impact in Italy over the years. Sadly, friends, the Roman Catholic Church seems to have an appearance of godliness but lacks the power thereof. And so not a lot of impact from the Italian Roman Catholic Church upon Italy, seeing as they've got probably close to the lowest birth rate. And Italy would probably benefit from Muslims getting polygamists and having babies. Thankfully, Pope is warming up to the Islamic religion. That should help with the transition.
That should help. You know, what's amazing is that that echoes what happened here in the United States, and that is when the homosexual agenda became very, very loud and very prominent and pushing for same-sex marriages, it was fundamentalist Mormons who were backing that effort as well. Why? Because they're polygamists.
Right, you're opening the door to homosexuality. Why not incest? Why not polygamy?
Exactly.
Why not some of the other abominations? I think that seems to make a lot of sense, at least in a legal sense. A lot of legal scholars say, yeah.
Yep.
Does make sense.
They recognize the fundamentalist Mormons, the polygamous Mormons, recognize that if this falls, if same-sex marriage falls, then polygamy is the next step.
Consensual adults. Yes. Consensual adults, that's the principle used. Consensual adults coming together, wanting to establish a union, if they can put a paw print on it, or they can sign the little mark on the form, why not? Kim Davis is there. She can process the forms now without her signature. So why not, friends? That's the direction that the civil magistrate is headed in this country, perhaps Italy as well. You know, it's interesting that the Catholic birth rate has imploded. 99% of all women in America who have ever had sex have used a method of contraception other than natural family planning. 99%. And 98% of Catholic women. So, and Catholic, the Catholic birth rate is imploding everywhere. 85% of church-going Catholic women believe that they can be good Catholics while dissenting from church teachings on fertility. But I want to get towards this issue of polygamy. And the failure of big government socialism, I think, will most certainly usher in polygamy. For now, the feminists are horrified by the concept of polygamy, but wait until socialism runs out of other people's money. The inner city serial polygamy thing, you know, the serial fornication polygamy thing, 75% of these kids born outside of wedlock, generation after generation after generation, as the hubby, Uncle Sam, is providing for the sustenance for these families. It's actually a very large polygamous system in which Uncle Sam has a lot of wives. I don't know how many wives he's got, but he's got a lot of wives. But what if Uncle Sam runs out of other people's money? Then what happens? Friends, polygamy usually follows tyranny unless Jesus shows up, unless there is something of a Christian reformation in the land, unless people hear the gospel of Jesus somehow and come to love Jesus and understand what a loving family looks like. And now that's one alternative. And by the way, that has been successful at weeding out these problems of 57% of kids born outside of wedlock to millennial women. It's dealt with the problem of polygamy over a period of hundreds and at some points thousands of years. It's taken away a while to weed out polygamy from the system. But friends, that's the direction people tend to go. Man gravitates towards big government tyranny. And then he'll gravitate back to small fiefdoms, back and forth, unless and until there's a Christian Reformation. Islam tends to be less empire, more small fiefdoms, where slavery and polygamy prevail. And so they have many little tyrannies. That's what Islam has been all about since roughly 600 AD. They're very good at tyranny, not so good at large empires. Humanists are better with that. But Islam is really good at establishing the small fiefdoms with the harems. They're good at small tyrannies with lots and lots of slaves and lots of wives. So keep that in mind. Two approaches that fallen man takes. The Muslims take the decentralized forms of fiefdoms, and the humanists, those who are post-Christian apostates, tend to gravitate towards the large empires. Either way, it's tyranny. Either way, it's not God's way. It's not God's law. It's not God's best for man.
And that's why Scripture says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And
amen.
We need liberty. Amen. We need liberty under God's law.
Amen. And in other words, the best of all worlds. You know, you maximize the unity in the particulars under God's law, the one and the many. And what's neat about God's law is it maximizes relationship instead of tyranny. You lack relationship in polygamy. I mean, hey, you're not going to have the relationship you would have in monogamy as you would in polygamy. That's a no-brainer, all right? So God's law maximizes the idea of relational living in church and family, whereas man's law emphasizes the tyranny of the one, or the tyranny of the organization, the tyranny of the family, or the tyranny of the empire state. So you see that God's law, God's way of doing things, always the better way, and where Christian Reformation sweeps through the land, you're not going to find tyranny. You're not going to find these empires. You're not going to find these local fiefdoms. You're not going to find polygamy. Polygamy is a form of autonomy where man is doing his own thing. The sheep are going their own way. The first tyrant was a polygamist. His name was Lamech. And he boasted, "I am bigger than God." Lamech, in Genesis 4:23, says to his wives, Ada and Zillah, "Hear my voice, you wives of Lamech." He was a good Muslim. "Listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's vengeance is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. He was the first tyrant who said, if God punishes seven times, Lamech's justice will be 11 times the severity of God's justice, because Lamech is more tyrannical. Lamech is powerful. Lamech is more vengeful. Lamech's got a stronger view of justice than God. This is the ultimate definition of tyranny. These are the tyrants. Lamech is the father of tyrants. Lamech is the father of polygamists. And we find it in Genesis chapter 4.
That's why, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, because God's word values the individual. God values the individual more than the group. And what you have with tyranny is it's not the individual who matters. It's just that the system survives. And so people are used instead of loved. As you said, there's no relationship. There's just slavery and abuse.
Well, what did Jesus say? The two shall become one. No, there's the three shall become one. There's a four, five. Five shall become.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said that there's a polyglot. A polyglot.
I thought he said the two shall become. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. The two shall be one flesh. That's what I remember.
Yeah. Well, you're probably reading from the non-politically correct version.
Probably. According to biblical law, polygamy is less egregious than adultery and serial divorce, but it is still a sin. So keep that in mind. If you read scriptures, some sins are of themselves and by reason of several aggravations more heinous in the sight of God than others. So keep in mind, friends, that polygamy is a sin. Polygamy is not God's way. It's against God's will. According to biblical law, polygamy is less egregious than adultery and serial divorce, but it's still a sin. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, remember, one of the qualifications for an elder is that a man be the husband of one wife. And so this becomes a prerequisite for the eldership within the churches. And some at points took 100 years or 200 years, 300 years to work polygamy out of the system in some of these European nations over time, because, again, pagans tend to gravitate towards local fiefdom, tyranny at the local scale. And I see much of the Western world moving towards polygamy as a makeshift means of restoring social stability. You can't live with total social chaos forever and ever. That should be obvious to anybody. And what we have today is almost total social chaos. 57% of little boys and girls born outside of wedlock, and it's spiraling out of control. It's 10 times worse than it was in 1960, just a generation ago. And if it's 10 times worse than that, 30 to 40 years from now, you're looking at the total obliteration of human society as we know it.
You know what's amazing, Kevin, is that I just had this thought that we, as the Christian church, we send a lot of money to countries to establish orphanages, right? For those who are the fatherless, for those who are born, you know, without parents, without the stability of a two-parent family. And yet, here in this nation, what we do is we turn our children over to a state system and say, here, you be the father of the orphans. You be the father, the government, of the widowed and the orphans. And we are just so schizoid as a church here in this nation. We need to return to a biblical basis. And what we need to do, quite frankly, is shut down the public schools.
You're speaking of Rousseau's orphanage Jean-Jacques Rousseau is the father of modern education and came up with a concept of compulsory attendance laws in which the state would mandate and control public education across the country. He was the man who had five children and abandoned all five on the day they were born to various orphanages throughout Paris, and then went on to tell the modern world how to raise kids and to establish education for the masses, because he stated that children belong to the state. And so yeah, the modern world has established a gigantic empire in which children belong to the state. They're handed off to the state at 7 years of age. No, make that 6 years. No, make that 5 years. No, make that 2 years. They're handed off to the state early on, or they belong to the state from the very beginning, because 57% of little boys and girls are born outside of wedlock.
If they're lucky enough to be born, because yeah, they're handed over to the state to eliminate them.
Yeah. So that's, if the state hasn't eliminated them, the state owns them, because what the state funds, the state controls, and the social services department control the family life of almost the majority of families across this country today, because of the power of the money that controls these families' lives.
Hey, you have a new book out, don't you?
It's about family life. Yeah. Yes, and it talks about how Jesus comes and restores everything, how Jesus comes and redeems everything, including the family. And I do open up with the destruction that pretty much has ravaged most of the Western world. And in the introduction, I say, we are broken. We are broken. And the first thing I want everybody to know is that we need to humble ourselves. We need to acknowledge how broken we really are. And I'm not just talking about the inner city family. I'm talking about all of us have been affected in some way. It's an iceberg, you know, and we see some of the more dysfunctional forms above the water, but there's everybody else under the water. And so we are broken. And then the second part of the introduction is we are redeemed. I talk about the redemption that comes through Jesus. And then I develop a family discipleship, family economy, family honor, family relationships, family culture, family freedoms, and family worship and family life. And so these are all aspects of the family that have been largely missing in the modern world. Friends, we're talking about things most families wouldn't even recognize. As we call back a biblical view or biblical vision for the family, you're going to find that most of these aspects of the family, family economy, family culture, family discipleship, family worship, have been almost entirely obliterated from modern life. How about restoring the family and redeeming the family, the biblical family, according to God's word? That's why I wrote the book Family Life, A Simple Guide for the Biblical Family, available at our new website, generations.org. By the way, check out our new website. It's pretty snappy. Lots of aspects to it. You can get a daily family devotional if you like, emailed directly to you. You can check it out at our website. And of course, all of our resources available there, as well as the Worldview in 5 minutes, all at our new website, generations.org. And don't forget to pick up a copy of my new book, Family Life, at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.